Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald. The North Dakota Public Service Commission is meeting today for a special meeting. It's 9:30, approximately 9:30, actually 9:40 a.m. on June 6th of 2008. The commission is meeting today in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, State Capitol, 12th floor, Bismarck, North Dakota. With me are my two fellow commissioners, Commissioner Tony Clark. Tony, any welcoming remarks?
Just good morning and welcome.
And Kevin Kramer.
Good morning and welcome.
And we're all happy that we received about an inch of rain in Bismarck last night. We really needed it. And we'll go on because there are no items on the consent agenda. We'll start with SW1. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing a corridor certificate and route permit, but declining to supersede a condition of Reed Township's conditional use permit requiring double circuiting of Minnekota Power Cooperative Inc.'s proposed 230 kV electric transmission line routed in Barnes, Cass, and Steele counties of North Dakota. Case number PU0848.
Second for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. This has been a major project for the commission. The commission was aware that a new transmission line would be needed this spring when we received two applications for major wind farms in the Valley City area. And then on February 5th of 2008, Minn Kota Power Cooperative and with its then co-partner Otter Tail filed a letter of intent to submit siting applications for a proposed 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities. Then on March 18th of 2008, Minn Kota and Otter Tail filed the application with the commission for a waiver of procedure and timelines and consolidated certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit, authorizing construction of approximately 56.6 miles of 230 kV transmission line and associated new substation referred to as the Pillsbury-Fargo Generation Outlet Project. Later in the project, it changed slightly. It changed slightly. In fact, it changed more than slightly because Otter Tail withdrew as an applicant. And the commission recognized that. That happened on April 21st of 2008. And then the total distance of the line as determined in the final structure placement was found to be 61.1 miles, and that was filed on May 15th of 2008. They filed a map showing a proposed final transmission line structure locations. Now, Minn Kota is headquartered in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And approximately one half of Minn Kota's electric load is located in North Dakota. And together, the Minn Kota joint system currently serves more than 280,000 people. And they're proposing to construct approximately 61.6 miles of 230 kV electric transmission line, beginning at a new substation to be located in Section 7 of Aylesbury Township near Pillsbury, North Dakota, and extending to the existing Maple River substation near Fargo, North Dakota. And the purpose of the transmission line and the associated Pillsbury substation is to transmit energy generated by proposed wind farm projects in Barnes, Steele, and Griggs counties to an interconnection with the regional transmission grid at the Maple River substation. The estimated cost for materials and construction is approximately $36 million. Minn Kota's originally proposed corridor and route generally followed an existing Senex pipeline cited by the commission in 1991 along railroad right-of-way and then paralleled an existing Minn Kota 345 kV transmission line before interconnecting at the Maple River substation. However, changes needed to be made in this proposed route. The majority of the proposed transmission line will be constructed using monopole steel structures, except that H-frame structures will be used on much of the east end of the project. Minn Kota filed a reroute on April 15, explaining that input from landowners and the Armenia Township Board, combined with the presence of an airport communication towers in the proximity to the city of Armenia, and an analysis of exclusion avoidance areas, caused Minn Kota to propose a reroute in the area of the Rush River Watershed Resource District. Now, during the May 22nd hearing that the commission held in Castleton, The commission requested that Minn Kota file a late-filed exhibit, number 2, exploring alternative reroutes in the northeast portion of Rush River Township because of landowner concerns regarding potential adverse impacts of electric magnetic fields or stray voltage to cattle in Section 2. And Minn Kota submitted the late-filed exhibit with a recommendation that the commission approve an alternative reroute in the northeast portion of Rush River Township. Minn Kota's recommended alternative reroute is contingent upon completing cultural, biological, and wetland surveys. And the commission finds in this order today that additional time for surveys and an opportunity for interested persons to be heard are needed before designated a transmission route within this northeastern portion of Rush River Township. So there is 4 miles of the route, which the commission is not approving today. There was another issue that came up at the hearing, and that related to the Reed Township conditional use permit. At the May 22, 2008 public hearing, testimony was received regarding Minn Kota's request that the commission act to supersede a provision in a conditional use permit granted by Reed Township in Cass County. Minn Kota's proposed route is to be, Minn Kota's proposed route is to be double circuited. Double circuited means that both lines would go on the present 345. Not only would the 345 kV line hold its line, but there would also be the new 230 kV line would be put onto that that structure. Minn Kota's proposed route is to be double circuited with the adjacent 345 kV Minn Kota line for the Cheyenne River crossing along the eastern side of Section 7 in Reed Township. Reed Township's conditional use permit includes a condition that the proposed transmission line be double circuited for an additional 3/4 mile across the remainder of Section 7. Minn Kota contends that the additional double circuited would be cost prohibitive and result in less system reliability. Minn Kota asks that Reed Township's condition to the conditional use be superseded and preempted. That can happen according to North Dakota Century Code. Minn Kota proposes routing the new 230 kV transmission line 173 feet south of the center line of the existing Minn Kota 345 kV transmission line. Transmission structure placements are proposed to generally mirror existing 345 kV structure placements to the extent practical. The new structures would be approximately the same height or shorter, et cetera. Minn Kota notes that in a few locations it would be necessary for the proposed structure locations to deviate from mirroring the placement of the existing structures. So then, after hearing all about this and asking questions at the hearing, the commission directed that Minn Kota prepare a late-filed exhibit exploring double-circuiting across Section 7 of Reed Township and also across the adjacent Raymond Township. The commission then, in its order now and in its deliberations, focused just on Reed Township, not on Raymond as well. The resulting late-filed exhibit indicates that double-circuiting the 345 kV line would require removal and replacement of the 345 kV structures along the double-circuited portion of the route, which they say for Section 7 alone could cost as much as $2.9 million in construction costs, plus up to $24 million for replacement power purchases, depending on, in part, how long the 345 kV line would be out of service for construction. Minn Kota clarified in a supplement to late-filed Exhibit 1 that $24 million for replacement power represents a worst-case scenario based on a full 4 weeks of downtime with full loss of Coyote generating station availability and payment of peak market energy prices for replacement energy throughout the entire 4 weeks. I'm hoping that the commission agrees that Minn Kota's cost estimates are at least worst case and finds the actual costs of double circuiting are likely to be significantly less. Minn Kota raised concerns that double circuiting across the entire Section 7 would degrade system reliability largely because of the increased probability that a catastrophic failure event such as weather, et cetera, could take out both lines if they were on the same structure. The commission finds in this case, I hope they do, that the effect of double circuiting would have on reliability would likely be minimal. The proposed 230 kV line would be a lateral line with the only purpose being to interconnect an intermittent wind generating resource to the power grid. The loss of that interconnection would have the same effect on system reliability as wind not blowing. Superseding of local land use planning authority should be reserved only for extraordinary circumstances. For example, let's say if the township board said we're not allowing it to go through this area, then I could understand that the commission may need to supersede. But in this case, the township board is saying that they are allowing it to go through with these special conditions. Minn Kota's proposed parallel route across Section 7 would significantly increase the amount of land use for transmission right-of-way in Reed Township. So then, to go on, I would like to just make some general comments about this line. This has been a major project for the commission. It's a major project for the state of North Dakota, and it's a major project for the electric industry. The commission has always made an attempt to facilitate projects when we can see that they're needed and necessary. This is a project that is needed and necessary. In fact, it's a wonderful opportunity because we have the opportunity of having two wind farms in our state. In fact, we may have three wind farms in our state that are located in that area. They need to have an outlet for the generation that's going to be, for the electricity that's going to be generated by those wind farms. And Minn Kota stepped up to the plate in this case, and they said, yes, we will build this new transmission line in order to move this electricity to the customers who desire and want this wind energy. You could have had a situation in this state where we would have three potential wind farms wanting to be built, and no one would step up to build the transmission line. And that could have caused major problems not only for the wind farm owners, but for the customers who wish to use generation produced by wind. So from that regard, I'm very comfortable and very comfortable with this project. On the other hand, I would just like to say that the commission is given 6 months to cite projects of this sort, which is still an incredibly short time. We were under a lot of pressure in this case to move along quickly. And the commission has really worked hard on this project to be sure that we're not only doing something in a timely manner, but doing it in the right way. When you're doing something in a time frame of less than 3 months, citing a 60-mile electricity line, there are bound to be places on the route, and in this case, there's two places on the route where there are issues to be resolved. I'm amazed that it's only two places. I think that's very good. We're only talking about one four-mile section and then a three-quarter-mile section along a 60-mile route here where there's been any controversy about this route whatsoever. And so I am happy to make this motion to cite this transmission line today, but I am also I'm pleased to cite this transmission line today, but I'm not at all surprised that we're still working out two areas on this transmission line through this order and through a process which will be another hearing in about a month. I'm sure my fellow commissioners have comments on this as well.
I certainly agree with the vast majority of the comments that Commissioner Weifold made, and certainly agree with the vast majority of the order that she has moved. I will be voting no on this particular order, and if it does not pass, we'll be moving an alternate order that during the work session I requested that staff prepare. Basically, the one issue comes down to the Reed Township issue, where if you boil it down, what you have is just one township on the very end of the line, along the entire line itself, that has asked for the line to be constructed in a way that's just a little bit different than anywhere else on the line and really differently than any other township has required. This particular change would add a significant amount of cost, depending on how you define significant. Now, Minn Kota has argued that they believe that this change that the township would order would add something close to perhaps $27 million in new costs. I don't know that it's quite that much, but even if it's overstated, and some of this is speculation because it's all, or at least a vast majority of those costs, are based on whatever the power market conditions are at the time. They don't know exactly how much power they would have to buy on the market, and they don't know exactly what the market costs will be. Although, you know, certainly from our recent experience of the Big Stone outage and Otter Tail having to go out onto the open market, if you get hit at the wrong time, it can add significant cost to consumers. So while we don't know the exact cost, even if it's half as much as $27 million, you're still approaching a $14 million increase, which is significant. And let's be reminded that it's not utility companies at the end of the day who pay these additional costs. It's ratepayers. It's consumers that pay these additional costs. Now, I personally favor overruling the township on those reasonability reasons that that state law gives us. I don't do it lightly at all, but state law does charge this commission with a different responsibility than it charges local townships. It specifically charges this commission with looking out for the interests of all North Dakotans, of all landowners along the line, and of all ratepayers. The township has a little bit different responsibility. In this case, it would appear that the township was being responsive to one particular constituent's concern. And that's certainly within the purview of the township, and I certainly appreciate that they're looking out for one constituent. But that's why we have this separate process in state law that allows this commission to look out for the interests of the greater good, that charge us with looking out for the interests of all ratepayers in the state, both cooperative ratepayers and investor-owned utility ratepayers when you're talking about siting a line. And in my mind, this additional cost of, who knows, anywhere from, you know, $15 to perhaps $27 million for about a one-mile stretch that would be differently constructed than anywhere else on the line does reach that threshold of what would be considered an unreasonable cost imposed by a local zoning board. And so I'll be supporting a motion to overrule the township board.
Well, I would just like to comment a little bit on that. There's actually 8 miles of the route where the 230 kV line will be paralleling a 345 kV line. In my mind, it would have been ideal if Minn Kota had proposed double-circuiting that whole 8 miles. This is going to be an area where you have two power lines marching right next to each other. I think it's 127 feet apart. And I think the township made a very reasonable decision here. In this particular spot, the line's already going to be double-circuited crossing the Cheyenne River. And so they're saying we want it double-circuited right adjacent to where it's already going to be double-circuited, and that involves two pole lengths. And then this would, crossing the Cheyenne River, and then it's going to be, they're requiring just 3/4 of a mile of this whole 60-mile route to be double-circuited, and they have good reasons for doing this. And quite frankly, the dollars, as I said in my that Minn Kota has said that this would cost for power replacement, those are with a full 4 weeks of downtime, with full loss of coyote generation station availability and payment at peak market energy prices for replacement energy throughout the entire 4 weeks. I cannot believe that Minn Kota cannot coordinate the building of this 3/4 mile of power line in less than 4 weeks, and that they would not be able to purchase power at less than the peak market energy price during that time, because this is in an off season. It is not in a major peaking season. September, whatever, when they're planning a next outage of their plant anyway, it seems to me that there would be some opportunities for amazing cost savings here. So I'm very supportive of the township's decision in this, and feel that the commission should look at this and should do this?
I actually believe that with regard to the 8 miles where the lines are paralleled, Minn Kota made actually a very rational decision, because if you think that, you know, even if it's a few weeks for just 3/4 of a mile that you have to take the 345 out, which trips Coyote offline, just think about how long, I mean, it could be a good chunk of the summer that you'd have to take Coyote off of line to double circuit a much longer length of that, perhaps 8 miles of line, and to expect consumers during the high air conditioning season to buy a significant amount of their power on the market would add significant costs to consumers. So I think there was good economic reason for Minn Kota shying away from taking off a major resource for that long. Again, I think the problem here is you have one township doing something different than every other township along the line has done. And certainly we can focus in on the 8 miles that we're talking about here, but it could have happened, you know, anywhere on the line, even where they're not paralleled. If you had particular townships or local zoning boards that made a decision that causes a line to be constructed in a vastly different manner than every other township along the line, this adds costs, and it's costs that are ultimately, they are costs that are ultimately borne by ratepayers. And again, I just think that is why we have this backstop process in state law. I think it's why the legislature said that this commission is the one who reconciles all the differences that local zoning boards might come up with and does it in a way that makes the most sense for all consumers in the state of North Dakota.
Part of the problem here is that Minn Kota already has, of course, ordered all the materials for this project, and they're ready to go. And they don't want to make a change in the materials that they have ordered and that they would have to return in order to get different materials to double circuit. And so that's one of the problems of doing something in a very short time frame. They have deadlines that they want to meet, and so they've already ordered equipment, and so they're trying to put the worst-case scenario on this in order for them to be able to move ahead very quickly. Quickly is fine, but not when it interferes with local government's decisions.
That is true. I mean, part of the cost is the pre-ordering, but the vast majority of the costs are related to having Coyote shut down and having to buy power on the open market at a more expensive cost.
Well, my colleagues have made thoughtful and very compelling arguments on both sides of the issue. Unfortunately, we don't get to vote both ways. So I will be voting against this motion, and I will reserve my comments in support of the alternate motion.
Roll call vote.
Ready for the roll call.
Commissioner Kramer?
No.
Commissioner Clark?
No.
Commissioner Weefall?
Yes.
I will go ahead and make an alternate motion. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing a corridor certificate and route permit, and superseding a condition of Reed Township's conditional use permit requiring double circuiting of Minn Kota Power Cooperative Inc.'s proposed 230 kV electric transmission line routed in Barnes, Cass, and Steele counties of North Dakota, case number PU 0848.
Second.
This is in all manner identical to the order forwarded and described by Commissioner Weefald, except for the issues related to the Reed Township conditional use permit.
I will be supporting this motion. I will also be filing a concurring opinion that will read similar to the comments I'd like to make at this point. We all know that electricity generated by wind is in high demand in our region and in our country. We all know that North Dakota has a lot of what the market wants and needs. And the challenge for us, of course, is getting this important product to the marketplace. And this transmission line is one of many new and proposed vehicles to do just that. Unfortunately, as has been illustrated and articulated very well by my colleagues, we find ourselves forced into making major decisions within a very short time frame. The federal production tax credit, which creates the incentive for wind development in North Dakota and across the country, is scheduled to expire at the end of this year. In order to receive the tax credit, wind farms must be commissioned this year. That is to say, They must be generating and transmitting electricity by December 31st, 2008, or lose the tax credit. Congress has failed to renew the PTC, which would give companies as well as vendors and suppliers the time to adequately plan for major investment in construction. This government-imposed deadline also distorts natural markets, artificially tightening the supply-demand curve, resulting in inflated construction costs which must be passed on to consumers. What America really needs is a long-term energy policy that sends signals that will inspire investment. Instead, our Congress passes short-term legislation, enhancing uncertainty in the future of energy development in our country. Today, the North Dakota Public Service Commission is voting to certify a corridor and permit a nearly 61-mile route for a 230 kV transmission line from Pillsbury to a substation near Fargo. This line is designed to carry electricity generated in Barnes, Griggs, and Steele counties, resulting in hundreds of millions of dollars of investment and thousands of dollars of local and state tax revenues. Wind farms and transmission lines don't get built in a weekend, so the clock is ticking while Congress does nothing, creating the short time frame we find ourselves in today. In order for the projects to get built, the planning and review process must be shortened. We have done all we can to expedite the regulatory process while not compromising the integrity of our charge to protect the environment, cultural resources, and people. But we're also charged with continuing service reliability and integrity while ensuring energy needs are met in an orderly and timely fashion. While I will vote for this order, two issues cause me apprehension. One is the nagging question, is this line big enough? The applicant provided a thorough analysis comparing a 230 kV line and a 345 kV line. It is compelling testimony as the cost of a 345 kV upgrade is high. Another developer testified that they'd be willing to pay the additional costs, but the short time frame seems to make it impossible to change the plans now and still meet Congress's deadline for the production tax credit. Furthermore, although the argument presented by Peak Wind is compelling, I don't see where the Public Service Commission has the authority to order a 345 kV capacity to an application for a 230 kV capacity line, especially if such a condition would likely kill the project altogether. The other issue causing me to pause, of course, is this fact that this order supersedes a condition placed on the conditional use permit by a township board. Reed Township has conditioned their permit requiring the proposed 230 kV line be double-circuited with an existing 345 kV line through one section. The existing line runs parallel to the proposed route for 8 miles. At the request of a single landowner in Reed Township, the zoning board has placed the double-circuit condition on the use permit. No other zoning board along the 8 miles of parallel routes has imposed such a condition. The commission has the authority to issue a permit which supersedes and preempts local zoning conditions upon a finding that such conditions are unreasonably restrictive in view of existing technology, factors of cost or economics, or needs of consumers. While it appears this is a reasonable and easy condition to meet, there are complications. I disagree with the finding in the order that double-circuiting in Reed Township would result in somewhat less reliability. The fact the lines are double-circuited to cross the Cheyenne River already exposes the two lines to the consequences of a single catastrophic event. Expanding the double-circuited portion by another mile would have a negligible impact on reliability, and clearly the technology is readily available to meet the township's demands. The only issue that meets the legal standard for superseding local authority, in my opinion, is cost. Double-circuiting a mile of line requires the existing line be taken out of service during construction. This is a major outage that has not been planned for and would require a purchase to replace the power unavailable during the outage at an estimated cost, as you've already heard, of $24 million to be paid by consumers. The purchase cost of power during the outage combined with the additional costs of equipment and materials for the construction makes the Township Board's condition unreasonably restrictive in my view. I believe the big challenges to siting this and future transmission infrastructure would be met with little to no public opposition if time allowed for more and better planning. If North Dakota is to realize the potential of being the Saudi Arabia of wind, we must facilitate the building of the infrastructure to do it. State officials are doing our part. The companies are doing their part. It'd be nice to have a little help from the Washington politicians who seem more enamored with sticking it to baseball players on steroids than finding solutions to America's energy needs.
Commissioner Kramer.
Yes.
Commissioner Weefall.
Yes, but I'll be filing a I will be filing a concurring with dissent in part.
And Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to SW2. I move the commission issue a notice of supplemental hearing in case number PU0848, Minkota Power Cooperative Inc.'s proposed 230 kV electric transmission line in Barnes, Cass, and Steele counties of North Dakota. As we've already described, at the public hearing, the commission requested that Minkota study an alternative route for a portion of the line located in Rush River Township in Cass County, North Dakota. And on May 28th, Minkota filed the late filed exhibit, which Minkota proposes as an alternative route within the corridor in the northeast portion of Rush River Township. And the commission is proposing a public hearing limited to issues relating to the proposed alternative route located in Rush River Township be held. And those are the standard issues that we consider at any hearing about siting. And this will give an opportunity for people along that new proposed route to let the commission know if they have any concerns. Everything seems to be in order. The hearing will be held on July 8th at 1:30 p.m. in the commission hearing room, 12th floor, State Capitol, Bismarck, North Dakota.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that concludes the items on the agenda. Are there any questions?
I would, excuse me. Sorry about that. I just want to make sure I'm absolutely clear about the double circuiting issue. How long of a portion of the line is going to be double circuited anyway? And what's the proximity to the portion that was desired to be double circuited?
All right, I can show you on the map. All right, that's why I put the maps out here. Here is the crossing of the Cheyenne River.
Okay.
And here is the additional portion of the township. It goes to this road here.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the 3/4 mile that's adjacent to the portion that's presently being double circuited.
Okay, so from going from west to east, it's 3/4 of a mile before it crosses the Cheyenne River.
That's correct.
Okay. And can you tell me, please, why the township imposed this or wanted to impose this condition?
It's our understanding from the hearing it was in response to the landowner's request in that area that be done.
Do you know why the landowner made the request?
Yes, she spoke to the commission. She already has a 345 kV transmission line going across her property adjacent to the Cheyenne River. Her property's on the Cheyenne River. And she does not want another 230 kV line going across her property. Which would be 127 feet distant from the present 345 kV line.
Is this for, like, aesthetic reasons or what?
No, she raises horses. She had concerns about her animals and also about her property values.
Okay. So she believes that her property values would be degraded by a second line, which is 173 feet away from the first one?
127 feet away from the first one.
I think the order says 173.
Is it 73? Excuse me. Okay, just whatever number's in the order is correct, Dale. Okay.
But it did, the statement that I made, is that correct? She was afraid of degradation of property value and harm to her horses?
That's my understanding.
Okay, because of a second line that's 173 foot south is what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
On the
that
order,
would be correct. That would
five,
be correct.
Page 5, paragraph 10, the first line.
That's correct.
Is that the correct footage? That is the reason why that there'd be some additional, there'd be property value degradation and disquiet to the horses because another line is put in 173 foot away from the first one.
That's correct.
All right. Can you describe what is double circuiting? If I understood the explanation correctly, it means hanging two power lines on the same structure?
That's correct.
Okay. And I was, where I got a little confused is there was talk about 3/4 of a mile of double circuiting, but then there was also mention of 8 miles.
And that would be 8 miles to the 7 miles in addition to the west. It parallels the 345 kV line.
See, Dale, for the 8 basically final miles of the route, it's parallel with the existing 345 line. And Reed Township was requesting that for just its portion of the line that is in Reed Township, that it be double circuited, so there would just be one structure, but it only would affect that one, basically, mile that's in Reed Township. The remaining 7 miles continue to be, was not a requirement of other townships.
Which is part of what compels me to vote against.
Why was the 7 miles mentioned?
It was because it's not...
Because the double... Well, I think the reason that it's mentioned is because it's, I mean, from my standpoint, is that the condition that Reed Township is asking be imposed on the line, there's nothing in Reed Township that's any different than the other 8 miles.
Yes, there is. It goes across the Cheyenne River double circuit, and that's...
Well, but outside of the Cheyenne River crossing, which they're already proposing to double circuit, there's nothing in that other mile that's any different than the remaining 7 miles of the...
Well, so what?
Well, the difference is you've got one township then imposing costs on an entire ratepayer base that no other township is requiring, and that's the unreasonableness.
Yeah, this gets into my point about the not having adequate opportunity to plan long term. You know, if we had plenty of time, if the companies had plenty of time to plan, perhaps that entire 8 miles would be double circuited, or maybe there'd be some other solution like a more organized corridor, if you will, or even a entire routes that would plan for a lot of investment in the future. For example, this Maple River substation is about to become a very important place. It's not an accident this line is going to that. That is the beginning of the line that is the CapEx 2020 capacity expansion going well into Minnesota, the Fargo to what's called the Fargo to St. Cloud or Fargo to Alexandria line in CapEx 2020. So that substation is very important to the future development in North Dakota. I suspect this won't be the last transmission line that tries to tap into that area. So you may see a lot of congestion in those last 8 miles into the future, and it's unfortunate that we don't have the time. I say we, that leaders and companies aren't afforded the time to plan this corridor more thoroughly with more future expansion.
Well, in Minnesota, they do have requirements about a larger planning time frame before any project is considered by the commission. There's a 230 kV line that's the same length that's going to go up, that's a part of the CapEx plan that's going to go approximately 60 miles north-south in the middle of Minnesota. That project is being studied for 2-3 years before it's being considered by the Minnesota Commission.
Of course, you don't see a lot of wind farms going in Minnesota either. And that's part of the problem, that's our dilemma, is that we're left with not a lot of great choices while Congress dilly-dallies around this issue of whether they're going to extend the production tax credits. The state could take a policy of, we need to study this for the long term, come up with one master plan, and go from there. And it would be a multi-year process, and in the process, you would not have investment in North Dakota wind farms. Or we can do it as we've been doing it, trying to do the very best that we can to minimize impacts and continue to facilitate the positive growth of the wind energy
there,
in the state. So it does leave us with a bit of a dilemma, and I fully concur with
there was a company
Kramer's
that
comments.
Appeared at our hearing, Peak Wind. And they're concerned because they're planning in just a couple years to build another 200-megawatt wind farm in the Valley City area. And so what they wanted was, as Commissioner Kramer implied, larger capacity on this particular line so that they would be able to have an outlet for their energy once that project is completed. Or they had the other suggestion. They said, we don't even care if you don't build a 345 kV line. If you put your 230 kV line up with the ability to hold another line on it, so that then we can have an ability to put another line on these existing structures in the future, But the company, the company's already ordered its materials, and so they said, no, that's not a possibility. We can't do that. That's short term. That's what I'm saying. We did the best we could in this situation, but we're looking at a solution which is not necessarily the best over a long-term way, but we're doing the best short-term solution that we can in this situation.
One of the other issues that makes wind development a little different than other forms of more traditional generation that we've seen developed is that traditional generation, large baseload units, I mean, it's typically the utilities themselves who build that, and oftentimes it's a number of utilities that are going together on those sorts of projects. So it's fairly easy for them to coordinate in a much, and the time frames for building a traditional plant are years out. So it's easier for a group of utilities to really coordinate where the lines are going to go. The wind power industry is a lot different. There are a lot more independent operators. It tends to be more merchant-based, so you've got companies that go out and develop just wind but then sell it through purchase power contracts to utility companies. And it's put together, these projects come together in a much less kind of coordinated way from a group of utility standpoint. Now, sometimes those come together, but sometimes it's independent operators, and we certainly encourage all kinds of development, but it does make it trickier to coordinate large projects and just, you know, one transmission line or have a master plan.
Wouldn't it have been prudent for the company to design a line or design a structure that you could hang two power lines on, even if there was not the peak wind request?
Except that you have to be able to recover those costs.
Well, they said it would cost. We didn't get a cost from Minkota on that, but the person from Peak Wind said it would cost $8 million additional dollars to do that on top of the $36 million. And they implied that cost, though, was not the issue. It was the timing of the project that was the issue.
Ordering materials, you know, late, paying the penalty for canceling an existing order.
I'm sorry to revisit this, but mm-hmm. the eight mile question. I mean, why would the 8 miles not go back for the entire length of?
Because the lines diverge at that point.
Okay. So
the 345 continues basically on a straight westerly path. I mean, there's some.
Okay, so
jogs in it, but the new line goes on a northerly, northwesterly path at that point. So that's just where they converge.
Okay, so it's from 8 miles into Reed Township, it's a parallel line.
Roughly,
okay.
To the substation.
And you mentioned the possibility of the Coyote Power Station having to be offline longer and there being more risk to the consumer for additional purchase power expenditures,
right?
If the Reed Township approach was adopted, could you kind of elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. The reason is that 345 substantially goes to support the power that is produced by Coyote Station in central North Dakota. When you take a large transmission line out, you can't continue to operate that power plant as you would otherwise because it destabilizes the entire system and there's no place for that power to go. So it's very similar to the situation that we experienced this winter where Big Stone had to go down. That was for maintenance, but the idea is that the power plant itself is offline for that period of time, so the companies that are involved with that power plant have to find somewhere else to go out and get that power, and what they do is they enter the open marketplace. And once you purchase power on the market, you're at the whims of whatever the clearing price is at that point. It's very, very likely that those costs will be in excess of what they can produce it for themselves through the existing plant, and that's where those additional costs
Listen,
come in.
Planned outages happen all the time with these power plants. These companies have planned outages. They plan them for regular maintenance on their plants. Minn Kota could do a planned outage. Generally, they do a planned outage in September. That's considered an off-peak time. And they could have, if they were willing to do this, they could have suggested that they would do, it would be no different than a planned outage. They're not telling their customers every time they have a planned outage for maintenance that it's costing them $50 million in electricity costs. I can tell you that.
However, that's...
But those things, that's just a planned outage is a planned outage. And then I have never seen a transmission line come in where you're adding in these purchased electricity costs and estimating what they could be at the very highest cost. As you, they're doing this to argue against that they don't want to change the proposal, and they do not want the commission to approve one township's zoning. They're afraid that's going to set precedent, and it could. But it's just a matter of the figures they have given the commission.
So it's fair to say
highest dollar amounts it could possibly be.
What would be an acceptable additional cost then?
The point, and I agree basically with what Commissioner Weefall is saying, that the challenge though is it's that word planned, and that's the problem. This has to be in service by the end of this year because there's a Congress imposed deadline to do it. And if we had a year or two to plan an outage like they normally do, if it's a maintenance outage, then you have long-term purchase contracts and you're in a better negotiating position than you are if we said today you have to do this and by next week they have to be purchasing power. That's therein lies the problem. And frankly, it is probably a worst-case scenario, the $24 million. But quite honestly, our job is to look out for the worst-case scenario, and I appreciate the prudence of doing exactly that.
And remember that this is even the construction with the small crossing of the Cheyenne is being coordinated with planned outages, and that's kind of pushing the limits of how fast they can construct that and have Coyote down for the June time frame here. It's down for a few more days than it is in September, but that September time that it's out is, I think, only 3 days was the record.
Do you know how long it's supposed to be out for the Cheyenne crossing to be?
Well, it's out 1 week right now. We are understanding that today they have an outage that's planned, and they're going to be starting to work tomorrow, apparently, on the Cheyenne crossing.
Mm-hmm. But just so that I understand you correctly.
For this week, because their outage is this week, and that's what they told us.
Okay, so their outage is this week, and they're going to be popping up that Cheyenne River crossing this week.
Well, they're going to be doing preparatory work. You can talk to the company.
But I just want to make sure that I understand you correctly. You think that the company's numbers are ginned up because they don't want to do it, and so they're saying, oh, it'll cost us $1 billion or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
What I'm suggesting is
thinking
that
it's overestimated.
The company is giving the worst-case scenario so that we can be adequately prepared for that scenario.
I mean, it's like a lousy fiscal note, right?
Who does that?
I would just add in that we're bound by a record here, and there's no evidence to suggest at all. A minute. I mean, if we're going to question the integrity of the engineers and the people who have under sworn testimony said that these are the costs, then I think we should have some basis for that. Now, we don't have anything on the record that would indicate that somehow they're just wholesale lying about these costs being there. And, in fact, we have some experience in the recent past that market costs are very expensive. Now, do I know that it's $24 million in market costs? I don't know that. Is it probably the high-end estimate? It's probably the high-end estimate. But as I said before, even if it's half that, it's still $12 million of additional costs that North Dakotans and in some cases Minnesotans will be paying. So to question the integrity of folks who have testified under oath without evidence that they've ginned it up, is inappropriate for us.
Actually, they didn't testify under oath about that number. They submitted it in a late filed exhibit, and that was it.
Well, that's evidence. Susan's exactly right, Tony's exactly right, and we actually challenged them on this very topic. And at the work session, I and others joined me in raising that concern that the only evidence we have to these numbers is the company's evidence. But there's nobody else to present other evidence. That's what we have. That's what we have.
The Reed Township, do they have like a zoning ordinance? Or is it a county's? Under what authority did they
In Cass County, the townships are delegated that authority. Apparently, I believe this was the record. In the other counties along the route, it's the county commission that handles that. Is that? There was something different about Cass, and I think it was that it was delegated to the township.
And in Reed Township, they needed to go to Reed Township to ask for a conditional use permit in order to put the transmission line across their township. They went to, according to the person who represented Reed Township, they went to a meeting with Minn Kota, and they said, okay, we're willing to give you our conditional use permit, but we're going to require double circuiting. The company said, okay.
All
All right. Knowing then they were going to come to the commission and ask for it to be overdone, to be overruled. Okay? But they didn't tell that to the township. Okay, we'll take your conditional use permit with double circuiting, but we're going to try to get this overruled. Maybe if they had said that, they wouldn't have given them the conditional use permit.
Then we'd be superseding that.
I understand that, but that's a, you know, this is a, it's a different issue.
I guess what I was getting at is how many townships along the route had this sort of process to grant a conditional use permit or whatever.
The ones that we believe in Cass County.
Just all of them.
Well,
the
at least Reed and Raymond. I don't know if
any of the townships could have done this.
Well, Reed and Raymond and Cass for sure, and then any of the county commissions beyond that.
My understanding is that the townships have the ability to have requirements for conditional use permits, depending on whether they have zoning requirements in that township.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at, is how many of them.
And I don't know.
Okay.
Some do, some
because
don't.
Because you mentioned that, you know, only Reed Township asked for this, but
right.
Isn't it possible that only Reed Township could have asked for it because they were set up to ask for it?
Well, there are
in
other,
terms of their zoning
whether
rules.
It's township or county, I mean, there's going to be some local zoning authority in, right. in
so
each of
have
these
to go
cases.
And ask. But,
all right. How many townships are we talking about, by the way? That's all.
Oh. Well,
is it,
you mean along the entire?
How many Cass County townships are we talking about along the route?
Quite a number.
We don't know that. That we don't know that, Dale.
Okay.
We'd have to count them.
Okay. Anything further? All right. The meeting is now closed, and the commission is scheduled to have a budget meeting now in the near future.